This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We had friends come in from California, which was great. So they got in, what, Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. It was my, well, it was actually, I hope your daughter doesn't go through this one thing. It worked out well,
yeah. But
it's heartbreak. I remember going through it in real time. So a year ago, my daughter's best friend moves.
Oh.
And it was her first best friend.
Ah, that's tough.
You know, so she was seven, and they FaceTimed it, but they moved to California.
Yeah.
And they were very good friends with us. So they came in, stayed with us a couple nights, then went down the block, stayed with some other friends for a couple nights. So there was a lot of stuff going on like that. Had a block party, you know, just kind of relaxing a little bit. I know you got some pool time, and you got the pool going, huh?
I did, man. It was great. We had did I go on 4th of July? I was going to say after the game. So Friday, you know, I worked Thursday, Friday. Hoff and I went to the Yankee game, left there early. Got the pool set, had some family come over. It was one funny line that my cousin had. First time that he came to the house, and he's asking all these questions. You know me, like, I have no idea. What's the square footage on the house?
You don't know the square footage?
Don't know.
Come on.
How many bedrooms? I'm like, one, two. He's like, you don't know how many square feet your house is. You don't know how many bedrooms you have, but you can name Gary Carter's OPS from 1980.
That's a good one. That's
I was like,
good.
You know what? You're right. It is true. But yeah, we had a great time having family over Saturday. Even yesterday, I was in the pool with Sammy all day. My wife didn't want any part of it. Sammy loves
she
it.
What kid doesn't like a pool?
Yeah, we're trying to get guys over. My wife, I know, reached out.
They texted. They're coordinating it.
Oh, okay. I know.
I texted you back about that. I said the wives are getting. I don't know what date it is.
Okay. Yeah.
No, they're going to put something together.
But either way, yeah, it was nice to just be out in the pool.
I will tell you this. And then was it Thursday night? Yeah, Thursday night. And we wound up because we've been in my house. So
yeah. It's
kind of a new community where they built a bunch of homes. And a lot of the people happen to have young kids, which worked out well.
Right.
So there was definitely a bond that you maybe don't get in when you move in more to a conventional.
Yeah, like
a conventional,
we got nobody around.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And we wound up, the girls were doing their things. The guys were hanging out by the fire pit watching the game. For the first time, the Surfside, I've heard you say this in the reads, it actually happened. Surfside snuck up on me a little bit.
Whoa,
They snuck up. It was a little creeper.
Yeah.
Kind of snuck up. I mean, I was fine, but I'm like, wow, they snuck up.
Dude, you could drink them all day. Mm. You don't even taste it. It was like my brother-in-law Ryan had that glazed look on his face.
How many did he have that got him the glazed look?
Dude, we were just going all day long, one after another,
really?
By the pool. Yeah, my sister, you know, his wife, my sister was like, all right, Ryan, I guess I'm driving home. And my wife and I were loving it because we love Ryan. He's smiling and happy, just enjoying the hell out of
himself. This is Joey's dad?
This is Joey's dad. Yeah, exactly. Nice.
How's Joey doing? He was obviously there.
Yeah, he was there. No Surfsides for him. They're actually on their way to Toronto for some hockey tournament.
I knew it. There's a big time of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Either Lake Placid, Toronto. So he's now 11?
Because
he's a year old in Cole, right? He's 11?
Yeah, exactly. Wow, so they're driving up there now, going to see the Hall of Fame and go on a tour of Maple Leaf Stadium, whatever,
nice.
And play a bunch of games up there. But he was my brother-in-law Ryan was enjoying himself. Dude, they do go down smooth, those surf sides,
man.
What'd you wash them down with? You have any after party there or what?
I was washing them down with seltzers.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? those seltzers. It was an interesting night.
BT and Sal, the fan. The BT and Sal show on the fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Mets took 2 out of 3 from the Yanks and kind of weathered the storm here after a bumpy ride for the last 3 weeks or so. 888-808-1019. Mark is in Oceanside talking about those Mets. What's up, Mark?
How are you guys? I'm glad you enjoyed your July 4th weekend. You deserve it.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay. One for each of you. Mm-hmm. Sal, you know the Mets are like one bat short, especially in center field. There is a guy who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year playing for a bad team, Byron Buxton. He is a beast in the center field. And
I do whatever it takes to get him. I've heard a lot about him. You're not the first person to bring his name up. He, to me, is clearly the best option in center field. You need a center fielder. They don't have one even for the future. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Gilbert or Jet Williams, whatever. I'm talking about right now, if you could go get Buxton and sign him long-term, figure out the other guys at a different time, I'd give up whatever it takes to get Buxton.
I'm with you. And BT,
mm-hmm.
It's so unlike you to give up so early on the Yankees. Mm-hmm. It's early. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
They're not going to win a World Series, Mark. I'm not giving up.
You got to wait till we see what happens at the trade deadline. You got hit in the face with this Clark Schmidt.
Yeah, I know, and that's part of the fuel to my opinion. You know, it's Mark. I don't know. I appreciate the call. I don't know how many hoops I could jump through to, you know, try to convince myself that this Yankees team is World Series worthy, especially when I didn't feel like that going into the season. Like, if I was, you know, January, February, March, and I did like Plan B, I own that. I thought Plan B was a smart pivot, and I thought that it would make him better defensively, a little bit more athletic. I'm thinking they're going to have the best bullpen in baseball with Weaver and Devin and Williams just destroying people. Things have worked out to an extent with some of those acquisitions, some a little less than what I was hoping for. But it's not like I just flip-flopped and said, man, this team's going to win the World Series too. I would sell. That was never my position. It was always like, you're like, you love the Yankees to win the division. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know. I saw a stat yesterday. You mentioned that stat that you gave about Juan Soto.
Yeah.
They didn't even give the exact average, but I heard it last night watching MLB Network to kind of recap stuff where the Toronto Blue Jays 7, 8, 9 hitters have the best combined average in baseball through 7, 8, 9. Like, I'm telling you, you don't think that they're better than the Yankees? I think that they're better than the New York Yankees. I do.
They're different, and I like their brand of baseball. I still can't believe it until I see it that Toronto's going to win this division from the Yanks. Right now, it seems that way. I mean, they've gained how many? They've won 8 in a row. So they went from being behind the Yankees, obviously winning 8 in a row. Now they're 3 games in front of the Yankees. So right now, it seems easy. I think the Yankees are going to stabilize here a little bit. I don't know about going to the All-Star break. That's a lot to ask. And look, maybe my opinion could change on this if the Yankees go 1-5 into the All-Star break. I didn't think the Yankees were as good as you thought coming into the year. What I'm saying now is I don't think it's as bad as it seems. Plus, because of the emergence of Dominguez as their leadoff hitter, if Boone decides to put him in the leadoff spot consistently, come on, Booney. I mean, I'm trying here.
Yep.
You got to have Dominguez leading off, Judge 2, Bellinger 3, Stanton 4, and I would go Wells 5. You want to go Jazz, whatever, I don't care. But just leave that alone. Matchups, be damned. Defense, be damned for now. Figure it out. But if they go with that, I think they could hit their way and stabilize with Fried, with Rodon, maybe with getting Hill back, and with the additions that they make in the bullpen.
How much of the constant tinkering of the lineup is, in your opinion, it's obviously an opinion question, even though we know it's analytically driven to a large extent, that Aaron Boone enjoys that.
Like, that's a great question.
You know what I mean? Like,
the Yankees, I think it's an organizational thing, but like,
I do too.
Oh, I can't wait to see. Yeah, we know what these guys are going to throw at us in these lanes, and we'll have this guy in there. And yeah, because they're over managing. They're trying to use pieces like it's a computer game and you're plugging them in. This is what's supposed to happen according to the metrics. So I'm going to go with this guy here because the metrics say he's going to thrive here versus this guy. And I'm going to have this guy ready for when he brings in that guy. Just let them play. They're good enough. They should be good enough. Now, Dominguez's issue in the outfield is a different question.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know what bothers me about analytics? I'm going to get very specific about one real gripe that I have about analytics here, okay? So when you construct, and not just Aaron, but everybody, you construct the lineup 1 through 9, you got your batting order, And it's a reaction, you know, to, in large part, you construct it in a way so that when you get deeper into the game, you've got, you know, you don't have back-to-back-to-back lefties because this team is going to throw this lefty out of the pen. Like, it's all baked in. And a lot of it is, most of it is in anticipation of what other teams will do as you get from the middle of the game to the end of the game. But not that you're ignoring the front, but you're minimizing the front.
Right.
Like, the Yankees have lost, and other teams too, have lost games early because they were analytically driven to something that could happen middle or late. How about you deal with middle or late when you get there and you actually start the way you're supposed to start?
Yeah, I like I like the way you put it. It's hard for me sometimes to use the proper words to describe the frustration in what I think that they're doing wrong. But it could be that. It could just be the predetermined data before. Like, they just think it's as easy as, okay, well, the math says we should do this this day, this tomorrow, this the next day. Like, they have it mapped out for weeks. And they stick to that and expect different results. And because sometimes the results will punch out 88 wins or 92 wins, it's okay. But it's just, there's something off about the way the Yankees specifically, other teams do it too, but we're watching the Yankees on a daily basis, the way they've done that and spitting in the face of what our eyes are telling us. Maybe no prime example of Volpe, who finally gets a few hits, but they stick to the scheduled off day. Drives me nuts. Or Dominguez, who finally looks like he established himself offensively as a leadoff hitter, then he's not in there. I get the defense yesterday, but I'm talking about after that. Like, he should be their leadoff hitter every day.
I agree. And there's no app that will be able to give you a read on a player's psyche, which absolutely impacts performance, based on you putting them at different positions.
Right.
Like, if Jazz was playing second base every day, would he be more consistent? If Dominguez was playing center field every day rather than left field to start, would it have taken him so long to get going offensively?
Or if these guys, if Dominguez was leading off versus, I don't know, I'm going to be hitting first, seventh, eighth, sixth, fifth.
Yeah, the consistency in the lineup.
Same thing. Yeah. Like, that's got to be a factor.
It's imagine us getting a schedule every week. Like, all right, today you're on 10 to 2. The next day you guys are Evan and Tiki. You'll do two shows there. And then, you know, you're going to do a little morning show action back to 10 to 2. It's like, oh my, how do you get in any real routine?
Certain people might like that. We talk about Juan Soto. He wants to be in a spot. He could say, he probably told Mendy this, I don't care if it's second, I don't care if it's third, pick one and put me there. Marte said this years ago with Buck Showalter. At certain points, you want to just be relievers, maybe. Hey, I want the eighth inning or I want the ninth. Maybe that could be a little more flexible. But certainly with the lineup, I would think that big leaguers, every day that they go to the ballpark, want to have an idea of where they're hitting in that lineup.
No question. They don't even cater to Aaron Judge. Who wants to hit third every game?
And Boone told us that opening day.
That's why I bring it up.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. Chris is in Bayshore. What's up, Chris?
Chris, what's happening?
Yeah, hey guys, how are you? Good show. Couple of things. First of all, BT, I could not disagree with you more. I don't think that Dominguez is a guy to be you know, running around center field. I just don't see it. I know that he's got, you know, he might have the measurables, but he drops too many fly balls, he overruns and bad reads. But my main thought is just the Mendy versus Boone thing. And I just think that they're clearly on different levels. I think Mendy's biggest strength is that he doesn't think he knows everything, and Boone thinks he does. And I think Boone's best attribute, or if you want to call it that, is he's great with the media, he's a great people person, but I just think being the smartest guy in the room, or thinking you are, is not a good thing.
I don't think that he thinks that. I really don't. I don't get that impression. Sal, you get that impression from Boone?
I don't know if I would say it that way. I think that they have... They, meaning the Yankees organization, and Boone does this first, front and center, because he's the one who's speaking after these games all the time. I don't think that they acknowledge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
The reality of the situation sometimes. Now, the counter, I already know what they're going to say is, yeah, but look at our record. Yeah, but we were in the World Series last year. And those are real tangible things.
Yeah.
And mine is not really tangible. I keep saying, well, yeah, but you're not doing it the right way. Something's off. You're not doing it the right way. I know what a good baseball team looks at. I know what a buttoned-up team looks like. That's not it. But yet, the results show otherwise. So is it me saying that Boone's not acknowledging the reality, or is their reality different from ours where they're saying it's going to be fine, we're not that bad, which I do agree with to a certain extent. What would help me feel better about it is if he said, hey, this guy was in a slump, or hey, this is awful. Everything
a little more transparency with that stuff, yeah. Be just a little more real with that.
Yes.
He's protecting his players. I've called for that as well. If you're a player, you love it. You know, we know the deal. We know that Volpe's been scuffling beyond scuffling. It's okay to say it. He doesn't. And that, you know, I'm sure the players respect that and they appreciate that. But there were two things that were said. One bothered me, and then one, I'm like, that was very interesting. So remember over the weekend when he said, hey, we're the best team in the American League?
Yes. Yeah.
You can't say that right now. Number one.
That was after, was it after they got swept? Or no, was it maybe before they
I
got
thought
swept
it was
by the
going
Blue Jays?
Into, no, I thought it was,
oh, maybe it was.
I thought
maybe
it was during the Blue Jays series.
Right,
not,
okay,
not before
too.
It.
Okay, right.
So number one, you don't say that because you're playing so poorly. Now, this might be a little thing, but I think little things matter to try to set a tone. Like, if you're on a team that is just playing a prolonged stretch of bad baseball, and your manager tells everybody that you're the best team in baseball, not that Judge and Goldschmidt would be like, oh, no, we're good to go. We have nothing to fix. But younger players, I don't think, need to hear that. I think younger players need to get put on alert a little bit more rather than something that I don't believe to be true reinforced, number one. Number two, that was just a little something I heard. I didn't love that. The other thing, and I thought this was interesting from Aaron, and I don't have it in front of me. I heard it in the car on the fan over the weekend, maybe during the postgame show, where he said, and he didn't. The tone wasn't biting. It wasn't like a dig. It was very matter of fact. He basically said, hey, listen, you know, we got to find out, you know, we got to get this thing going here. We got to start winning this game. Got to start playing better. Got to own it, blah, blah, blah. Then he said, and we got to, you know, we got to find out, you know, what pieces we can bring in. And, you know, like it was the first public acknowledgement of letting everybody know, specifically Cashman, that the team's not good enough. And I don't know that I've ever really heard him say that. Listen, we've gotten to know him a little bit. Not that well, mm-hmm. A little bit. I guarantee that, you know, if you are good buddies, and I don't mean us, good friends, like his real true friends in life, if he's sitting around playing poker or playing golf, and they truly ask him about his roster, he ain't feeling it.
Well,
I believe that. I don't believe that. How could he? He's a three-generation baseball man, and you don't have a pure leadoff hitter and all the other issues we've discussed for months, if not years. I just don't think he loves this role, and he shouldn't.
But I believe he believes they have enough, whether it's resources, whether it's right now, combined with the moves. Like, they know their roster is not final right now. So by... But then again, why would you say we have the best team? Well, if you have the best team, then why do you need to go out there and make other moves, which he acknowledged that they're going to need to do. Everybody knows that. I think they'll get another player, and I think that their offense will be okay. And I think that they believe that that's what the case will be. As far as the pitching goes, I don't know at this point. With Clark Schmidt out, they're going to go get multiple pitchers. If Weaver's not good, are they going to get more pitchers? So I don't know, man. It's a weird thing. It's what Boone tells the media. The media and the fans publicly. Is that what he really believes behind closed doors?
I don't believe so.
I do believe that he firmly believes in this team.
Well, I think he's an inherent winner. So I don't think that he's looking at this team as a hopeless, sad sack that's going to morph into a 76-win team. No. But I think it's a little less than he presents. Like, in terms of, like, that true, honest, real read on his team. I mean, Yankee fans, I mean, a lot of Yankee fans do like him. Not every Yankee fan loves him or believes in him. I get that. But there is no way that you can't, that the man doesn't know baseball.
Right.
And
if anything, he knows more than he's putting out there because he's using these damn analytics to a fault. He should know better than that. This guy's a baseball lifer. Enough with these damn analytics. I'm tired of it.
Well, Buck Showalter used to do it back in the day with the binder.
And again, when I say it like that, it's not to sound foolish and say don't use the information.
I got you.
I understand the information.
Don't let it shape every opinion.
Dude, it's every...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Every game, every decision, every matchup.
Oh, God.
It drives me up a wall.
Of all the things that, you know, there's so many things we talk about. If I had one wish to, like, get a real read on the Yankees, I really wish I could sit in on one of their pregame coaching staff organizational meetings. Because, and that's going to be about an hour. It's not like 5 minutes. All right, guys, we're playing the Orioles. Gunnar Henderson, don't throw him this pitch. I see. Let's go take BP. It is really detailed where they're mapping out who could pitch, who can't pitch based on previous, you know, obviously all the matchup-driven stuff. That, to me, would give us the most transparent read of how much is truly pre-planned before the first pitch, to what extent, and how willing are they to deviate from that if their eyes tell them something different or their gut tells them something different. For the latter, I don't think that they're willing to deviate at all, and that's a problem.
And that's based on stuff that we've seen.
Yeah, or at least, maybe I shouldn't say not at all, at least certainly not enough for my taste.
I'm not, you know, Black Sabbath.
Well, I wouldn't have even thought to play. I love Ozzy. Like, the Black Sabbath stuff is a little dark, but then again, so is Ozzy. Did you like Black Sabbath?
I was into the Ozfest. I liked a lot of bands there. I liked the show, The Osbourne, so it was fun.
Yeah, that show I liked.
That was great.
I liked the TV show. The music, it's like, it's a little too hard.
It's crazy. It's Ozzy.
Do you know who you're talking to? Mood. I go to Deftones, Slipknot, System of a Down. Like, that's what I live for.
All right, I understand that, yeah. But like, I like a decent, a little more upbeat vibe to it.
That wasn't upbeat? Iron Man wasn't upbeat.
Where'd you say you go, Hoff? You go to what?
I used to go to Ozfest all the time.
And what else? You said a couple different tone deafs, right?
Well, Deftones are my favorite tone deaf. Yes, we are tone deaf at times. I love the Deftones. That's my favorite band.
So he goes to all these places. How about go to Google next time we ask you a question?
Speaking of which, there are two things I want here. Number one, Joe DiMeo checks in, SNY.TV. He's always like a fact checker on the show. Buxton has 3 years, $45 million left on his deal. I think the caller said he was going to be a free agent after the year. That is not correct. So Buxton has 3 years, $45
million
left.
What's his injury history looking like, too, by the way?
He's been banged up a lot. You know that. That's
but this
the
year
thing.
He's been great. Yeah, no, I get it.
Until he gets hurt.
Hey, look, here's the
you
thing.
You don't want him off.
Here's the thing. Who do you want instead? Here's the thing we're learning. There are no perfect players.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get back to the calls, Hoff told me that I guess he has a list of the manager's odds on getting fired. Next managers to get fired.
I have top 10 here.
Top 10. Okay.
All right. Now, first, is Booney in the top 10?
He's going to be in the top 10, yes.
He is on the top
10. He's not going to get fired. He's going to be the top 10.
Tell me a lie. All right. Now, where do you think he ranks in those top 10s?
Based on the fact that, you know, he has a great rapport with the Yankees and the Yankees are generally conservative with this. I don't think it's as high as maybe some other people might think. I'm just trying to identify another team. I could see the Royals.
Braves?
No, I wouldn't fire him. No, even though the Braves have a rough year.
They've hated it. I heard stuff for years. Like, they never want the stinker to begin with. Meanwhile, he won the World
I know
Series.
He did. I'm going to say Boone's, out of 10, I'm going to say Boone's 5 or 6.
He's 10.
Whoa!
Yeah, there you go.
All right!
Hey, boy's safe.
He's got a chance.
I'll tell you this. Before you
just
give
start playing jazz at second.
Before you give we'll the actual odds, he's number one on Uncle John. Text, dude.
Was he bothering you again?
Oh, dude. Yeah, but this time it's not, ha-ha, Soto stinks, ha-ha, Yankees are the best. It's, bro, Blake's got to go. Your boy Boone, they should take him with it. Like, he wants Boone and Blake out. Uncle John's not happy with the Yankee situation right now. Boone and Blake out.
By the way, Uncle John.
He's 25 to 1, by the way.
Is that what it is? Who's won?
Your boy Brian Snitker.
Oh, he is
number one.
He's number one, 3-1.
No, Mendy?
He's 3-1?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little ridiculous.
They want him gone.
Give me like 2-3.
No, Mendy? He's a four-game losing streak.
Kotze with the Athletics.
Yeah.
Quintaro with the Royals. Stephen Vogt with the Guardians.
Quintaro was the guy that was down with Buck.
Yes, and the Guardians have been a disaster for a while. They're like 7-8 games under 500, whatever they are.
Yeah. And he got undressed by Booney in the postseason a year
ago.
He does not know how to manage. I'm sorry. Vogt should not be a manager. He could have done nice things with that team last year. Big game. He didn't know how to manage. We joke around sometimes and say, like, hey, I could do better than that. I guarantee you that if you or I were in the dugout last year for the Guardians, we would have managed again. Dude, I'm telling you.
You always say this. I've said this before.
I'm telling
you. We couldn't.
Give me the analytics guy. Put it in front of me. I'll see your data. I'll spit at it with that.
All right, let me ask you this, Sal. Hoff, you could weigh in with an answer as well. If it was Sal Boone or Aaron Licata as the manager of the Yankees.
I didn't say Yanks. I said Guardians.
I know, but I am curious. Yeah. If Sal was managing the Yankees this year, and we even let Booney take him through spring training so that they did real drills and got him ready for the season, Sal hitting fungos, but on opening day, if through 162, how many games would Sal win as the manager of the Yankees? Honestly.
Come on, I apply the same data, but I'd also use my eyes a little bit.
Well, I'm waiting for numbers. Hoff, would you like to chime in first?
No, I'll give you a number. Would he be? They probably run the same record, I would think.
Get the hell out of here.
The problem is,
same record as Aaron Boone?
They have what they have. This is the talent they have on
the
team.
Dude, that is so dismissive. I'm not saying Aaron Boone's Miller Huggins, but I mean, come on. Sal's going to win the same amount of games as Aaron Boone.
If you were coaching the Mets, wouldn't you not have the same amount of wins as Mendoza?
Yeah, but I know more. I'm a better manager coaching Sal.
Okay. And he's also got the respect of the players because he went to Mariners.
No, because they're 10 years old.
That's the biggest thing here, and that's the most important thing about the managers now is the relatability to the players and how they handle the players. See, that is something that I admit I would not be able to, like, nobody would respect me. This is such a hypothetical and a joke.
Well, it's worth exploring.
But I'll tell you this. It's worth the conversation. I wasn't saying it for the Yankees, but Boat, I know this because he was god awful doing things that anybody who's watched baseball for 5 minutes wouldn't be doing. So that's why I thought he was atrocious. But I do think a lot of these managers now, BT, it is from the front office on down, which is why I say that if there is blame to go around with the Yankees, I'm not putting the blame on Aaron Boone. I'm not saying he's perfect.
I'm with you on that.
It's the front office.
I've always said this, Sal. Yeah. Now, but the one thing that I think you omit, okay, and we can't quantify, but we got to at least factor it in as a variable. I think what Aaron does best, and I've said this for a long time, it will two things. Stifle issues. Like, as the manager of the Yankees, there could be a lot of flames around you.
Yeah.
And his disposition is perfect for the job in terms of keeping balance here, number one. And if I was managing the Yanks or the Mets, like in this theoretical, hypothetical world, we would probably explode and we'd make it worse. And the other thing, too, is, like, behind the scenes, what he's doing to instill confidence, to keep morale up, like, that is a very underrated talent. Do you feel the same way? Because let's face it, Jalen Brunson, Cat, you would have won 51 games if you coached the Knicks, too?
No.
Why is baseball so different than basketball?
It's a difference.
I think I'd win more games coaching the Knicks than I would managing the Yankees.
Yeah, and
Pure decisions to make.
I really don't think I'd win that many. I mean, you know, maybe Boone would win, like, what, 95, and I win, like, 91-ish. Like, I don't think it'd be, you know.
He ain't winning 95 this year.
I wouldn't win as many as Boone. I think they're going to win 93. They're going to go over that number. They'll win 92, 91 games still. I don't see this thing falling apart here. By the way, I am trying to get back in uniform, though. Or just get in uniform.
For a charity. So, yeah, get back. You're going
to
the 13-year illustrious career, Sal Acott is going
to
squeeze himself back into a uniform. Why? What are you doing?
Well, you know, Mets are having the alumni day.
Did they ask you to play?
No. But I asked Johnny Franco if they needed a bat boy.
A bat boy?
What am I going to go out there and play? I am having respect for them.
No, some self-respect. No, bat boy.
I said,
avoid Batman.
And Franco said maybe he
without the superpowers.
Maybe Franco said he would look into it. And then I asked TC when Terry Collins came in and saw us in the seats. And I said, TC, you need a bat boy. He said, heck, I might need some players. And
that's different. Now, there's ways.
Playing the game. What are you crazy?
Well, listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be involved, but you can't be the bat boy.
Why?
I mean, jogging out there, picking up
give me the helmet. I'll put the helmet on.
Remember when they won the World Series in 86? What was it, like Paul and Mike, the bat boys,
exactly,
right? Sal. Oh, my. Listen, I think that.
Come on, Mets alumni day. I want to be a bat boy.
I think what you should do, I mean, if it means that or nothing, you have fun and embrace it. Get social content. It would be great. But see if maybe you can maybe roam the outfield and do some audio content. The bat boys, dude, you're almost 50. I mean, bat boy.
Well, I'm only 45.
All right, so a couple years ago, you were 40. Does that sound better?
I want to be a kid for the day. Be a bat boy with the alumni Mets. I'm working on it. Franco's got to hook it up in TC. All right, BT and Sal. But manager? No, I'm not going to do that. BT and Sal, the Fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. Sonny is in Malvern. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, guys. Want to talk about the Mets and Yankees. But didn't Big Mike once say he wanted to be the manager of the Yankees?
Yes.
Mike said that?
He did say years ago.
Yeah.
He said he could do it, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Imagine Big Mike coming out in that Yankee uniform making a pitch change.
Listen, you know, Mike would Mike
I would pay for that.
Wow.
No, maybe it wasn't.
Wait, did he say it or did somebody else? He didn't actually
say
it.
No, he said it.
I forget.
Did he?
What about the? What about coaching the Giants?
I remember, Sal. Yeah,
I remember it, Sonny. I remember a couple of times.
I remember that one about the Giants more than the Yankees.
As far as coaching and managing, guys, I'm sure you would agree.
By the way, the Giants could have and have done worse.
Yep.
Yeah, but football being the toughest sport to coach by far.
I agree.
And it, and then probably basketball and then baseball. Anyway, as far as the Mets, got to be pretty, I'm a big Mets fan. Pretty happy. Big Mike.
Hey, listen, these athletes get on the air.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, that's it. These athletes get on the air, and they, some of them sound like idiots, but they do the job.
Oh, all kidding aside.
Why can't we do their job?
Oh, you tell me I couldn't apply the information that they give you? Hey, here's what you're supposed to do. This guy should do, okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Like, set the template there, and I'll take it the rest of the way. Anyway, go ahead, Sonny.
Yeah, first Mets, then Yankees. As far as the Mets, pretty happy with the Subway Series, obviously. 2 out of 3. Could have won the third game, considering we threw out one of the worst bullpens against one of the best pitchers in baseball. And if it wasn't for a couple of really good defensive plays for the Yankees, could have had that sweep. And I don't blame Lindor for getting thrown out at first there. You know, he did the right play by going halfway, but I blame the first base coach, whoever that is, for not telling him to come back and slide. Anyway, and guys, what about McNeil? You know, people were killing him 2 years ago in the first half of last year. And he's a versatile player. I think his OPS is like 870 from last year's All-Star game. And, you know, he's a great player. So the top five for the Mets lineup is one of the best in baseball, I think. As far as the Yankees, I know they have a lot of flaws, BT, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. But I think the main thing is, besides their pitching, obviously, is very simple. If Judge doesn't hit, the Yankees don't win. And Sal, it's not clear sailing for the Mets. They have a terrible bullpen. They got to fix that. So it's not clear sailing for the Mets.
No, they're getting help. It has nothing to do with that. And thank you for the call, Sonny. It has nothing to do with me being a Mets fan. What I was saying is the Mets are taking on water for the last, you know, 3 weeks or so. And it wasn't looking good, especially going into the weekend against the Yankees with the pitching the way that it is. Now with Manaea potentially coming back, you know, Sunday, Senga on his way back, Winker coming back probably tomorrow is expected to be activated, Brooks Raley at some point, and the trade deadline, I feel like the worst is behind the Mets. It doesn't mean they're not going to lose games or maybe not win the division. I feel like that storm where everybody's starting to question just how legitimate they were, could they continue to hold off all the water they're taking on? I think that they've survived that storm and now should be out of the woods as far as that period of the schedule goes.
And they were starting, at least I thought they were starting to run out of buckets.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
There's only so many things you could try to patch up and dump some water, keep it afloat. I tend to agree with you. I wouldn't be surprised if they were to lose 4 or 5 at some point, or even 5 or 6. But the instability, the implosion that seemingly was going on, the energy around the Pirates series, I don't think we see. We haven't seen it before in the history of the Mets. We're not going to see it again this year,
right?
Like that,
I wouldn't think so. And what was the other point about the Yankees? I forget what else you were saying there.
Well, just they don't win if Judge doesn't hit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been saying that for a long time.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Mike is in Tom's River starting us off. What's up, Mike?
BT, I love you. And Sal, I love you too. But BT, you're not going crazy enough, if you can believe that. I am a Yankee fan. I go to 20 games a year minimum. The hell with this. Freaking Cashman, freaking Boone, freaking Hal Steinbrenner. You have a team that can't field. They can't field. You have Volpe throwing a ball at Judge's face. I mean, come on. This is embarrassing. You know they're going to get into the playoffs and they won't hit. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Even if they had pitching, you know they're not going to field and hit in the playoffs. It's a disaster. Why can't the Yankee fans band together, fly freaking planes over like the Giant fans, and get rid of Cashman? We will never go anywhere with Cashman. We will never go anywhere, I think, with Hal Steinbrenner. And Boone is just Cashman. He just listens to whatever he says. They don't keep the same lineup. They don't do anything correctly
that
right now.
That drives me nuts.
I feel like I'm the Mets. Help me, BT. Help me.
Did he say, I feel like I'm the Mets?
He did. He slipped that in at the end there. Yeah.
I don't understand what that means. You feel like you're the Mets. The winners of 2 out of 3 of this most recent Subway Series. The Yankees had a chance to really stomp the Mets out, or at least draw blood this year. And they did not. They let the Mets off the hook. And now we may not see, you know, Mets and Yanks again until next season.
Yeah. I mean, I've never really felt. I always want a Subway Series. I never really felt it this year. I mean,
it sucked that it was on the holiday weekend. That's
horrendous. Horrendous.
Yeah, because normally, now, first of all, it was on weekends, which you'd rather have it during the week so we could watch each game, react to each game.
Yeah.
But when it happens over the course of the weekend, we don't react until Monday. So you see all 3 games and then react over the course. You watch them on the weekend, then come back in on Monday. So we had that the first time,
mm-hmm.
although there was much more hype going into the first one than this one. And that's because it was the holiday and because both teams are struggling. But we had some fun out there on Friday and, you know, ahead of the game. But reacting to it would have been better. each individual game. But yeah, I mean, it's still a big thing. You know that. The Subway Series, the crowd is lit.
Yep.
The energy's there from the fan bases. It's just unfortunate the way the two teams went in, that it was more about survival this weekend than it was about, you know, dominance or being the top team in town.
Well, we mentioned that. Like, that's the, I remember the one thing before, even before, you know, I took a few days off, I remember saying probably 2 weeks ago, hey, guys, there's a chance that, I mean, obviously it's still July, so it's not the end of the season, no matter what happens. Yeah. But it will feel deeper and more alarming for the loser of this series if things continue the way they do leading up to the series. Now, the Mets got right in that Brewers series. They got right.
Barely, but it took everything that they had.
But they scrapped through.
Yes.
And you got to give them respect on that. They clawed their way out of what was just a gross performance against Pittsburgh, and the Yankees didn't. Yankees got knocked around at Toronto. You know, they lost divisional supremacy. And we keep talking about Toronto. They're tied with the Rays here. So it's not a two-team race. I really don't know where it's going to go. It just seems like there's more, you know, more stable ground right now in Queens. That's pretty easy to identify.
Yeah, and especially going into the All-Star break with the schedule being what it is, this is tough sledding here for the A's. Now, I wouldn't be shocked if they get a little home cooking and, you know, bludgeon the Mariners who can't keep up with them offense.
Good pitching, Seattle.
Hey, I get it, but this is where the Yankees' offense has to carry them here. They need it. They need it desperately here. Seattle and then the Cubs, it is going to be tough. You know, the Subway Series could have just been, all right, well, it stinks losing 2 out of 3 to the Mets. The sweep of the Blue Jays was bad. That's like the wake-up call, the initial wake-up call. If you weren't woken up before that, losing 2 out of 3 to the Mets was like, how the hell did that happen with that pitching? Now it could be actual real danger. While I am saying I still think the Yankees are going to be fine, you know, I'm counting on them winning some games here. You can't go into the break losing winning one of the next six, going 1-5. Like, they got to win some games here. Win these series, you're going to the All-Star break.
They will if Max Fried could pitch every day, which is a big piece of the issue now. That's a big problem.
Well, their bullpen would be concerning to me. Right now, the Yanks are starting to take on that water like the Mets were. I still think, ultimately, they'll be okay. Let's finish up on the phones. Hank is in Fairfield, Connecticut. What's up, Hank?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Hank?
If you could give me a minute. If some of this is a reiteration of what you were saying, but if you could give me a minute or so to get it all out. Like, let's discuss why the Yankees are in this position. Why? Defensively. You force Dominguez to play left field instead of putting him in center field where he's played his whole life. You force Jazz to play third base instead of second base where he's really good. And by the way, while we're talking about a defensive lineup, and granted they won yesterday, you said that, and that's fair, but also during the losing streak and whatever else, beyond, these decisions have been made every day. Why is DJ LeMahieu, who can't move at second base instead of Jazz? Why? I have no idea.
But why is he on the team?
Version of... Right. Well, I'm going to get to that, Sal. So why is he on the team? He's this year's version of Hicks, Donaldson, Gallo, Sanchez. They continue to force feed Peraza, who's not hitting his weight. I don't care if he's Ozzie Smith. He can't hit. What are they both doing on the team? And when you have six different leadoff hitters, it's like having two goalies in hockey. You don't have a leadoff hitter. Put Dominguez there. Leave him alone. And if you want to DH him, get Stan out the lineup, because I don't think he's hit a home run since he's been back.
He's got one.
Like, It's like coaching a 9-year-old rec team. You put everybody in different spots in the order in the field and see who can play. There's two words to describe the whole conversation: organizational malpractice. Mm. It's a joke. The laptop says it works, so it'll work.
Good job, Hank.
Hank hit a lot there. He hit a lot there. You know, the reason, let's not lose sight of one very simple thing. The Yankees don't play guys out of position because they're trying to be creative. And they're trying to, like, rearrange the wheel. They're trying to reinvent the wheel. The Yankees consistently play people out of position because there have been mistakes made before that player that they're now playing out of position got there. And somebody else is holding a position that they don't even really want on the team anymore. But because they made a mistake, the new guy they bring in, because they know they had to make a move, if you know what I mean, if you follow that, because they know that they made mistakes, there's nowhere to put them. So
like Jazz last year with Glaber.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
100%. They wanted Glaber to play third. Glaber said no. They want him to play third.
Exactly. Okay, but at least last year you had the excuse. There's no excuse now.
I know.
Like, if I'm saying the Yankees are going to be okay, well, why? There are some things that I would do right now that would tighten things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
First would be put Jazz at second. Forget third base. It's a hole right now anyway. You might as well fix second base and let third base be the hole that it is. I'd maybe put Peraza there. I just don't want to see DJ.
He can't hit.
I don't care, BT. I'd rather have the defense then. Cut LeMahieu. I want LeMahieu off this team. And I would have Dominguez leading off. I'm not so sure he's going to be a center fielder. I mean, I'm open to it because I know he's not going to be a left fielder, but I would imagine that they don't believe he can play center, which is why he's playing left. But bare minimum, Jazz at second, let third base be the hole until you get a third baseman, and have Dominguez lead off. And if that means having him lead off at DH, I'm fine with that. And go with Grisham, Bellinger, Judge, I'd rather that than Stanton. Dominguez, even as a DH, can do more than Stanton because he can run. So I'd rather that. Get Stanton off the team. Oh, no, you're crazy. His postseason prowess. My ass. It's hurting the team the way that you can build a team.
Can you envision, well, by the way, have you kept tabs on my boy who's doing pretty well?
Oh, Spencer Jones?
Have you seen what he's done?
No, he's getting heating up.
Well,
They moved him up, right?
They moved him up about eight games ago. I'm looking at it now. I just wanted to check it out. He's hitting 375 with an OPS of almost 1,300. He's got four home runs, eight ribbies, and he's got three doubles as well. So, well, I mean, what does it mean? It means very small sample. He's at least rewarded the Yankees' belief in him by crushing it at AAA. I don't know. I mean, if you get it, this is nuts, because I don't even think he's even close to being ready for Major League pitching. But if this skid continues...
Well, where are you going to put him, though? I like, wouldn't Lombard be the right move first, because you could at least justify having him?
Lombard's too young. I mean, Spencer Jones is at least 24. Lombard is 19.
Right, but you don't have a spot for Spencer Jones.
Well, you do if you start moving people around. If you trade Trent Grisham and you trade, say, Goldschmidt, then you could put Bellinger at first. You can put Jones in left. You could put Dominguez in center. And you can see what you got. I mean,
you want to go real baby bombers.
I mean, I really don't. I want a solution, and I don't really see one right now.
Frank is in Fairfield. What's up, Frank?
Yeah, hey, real good show. A couple of things. I really like Jason Dominguez in that leadoff spot, but they should never bat him righty. Let him bat lefty. Let him learn how to bat lefty pitches and this and that. And the other one is, I think a lot of the issues now where they don't play the same lineup. It's because Stanton came back. And now Rice is not playing. Wells plays every other day. And it seems to be confusing for Boone.
I don't know if it's confusing. It's just
I wouldn't use the word confusing. I would use the word it's not optimal. I mean, again, that's why you get defense on this show. Not entirely, but more defense of Aaron Boone than not. Because we realize what he is stuck with. And the Yankees, I'm not pinning this on Giancarlo Stanton since he returned, but things were a little more harmonious in terms of a more consistent lineup, which led to a lot more consistent production and a lot more wins. And then, you know, and again, I respect the hell out of Big G. He's great in October, and he's an accountable dude. He's a very great teammate, and I wish he was healthy. He's not. He's old. Can't run.
But even with Dominguez, the idea that we would be saying, well, he can't play against lefties, that's a problem. For a young guy with that potential, the fact that he can't play left field, a trustworthy left field, the fact that he can't hit right-handed right now, those are two big issues for a player that was supposed to be some star player.
One is avoidable, and that's called, I don't know, crazy concept, put him in the position that he was before he came to the big. So that whether or not he could do it, I think he can, but I'd like to find out. The other thing, too, is it's a small sample. You know, he hasn't faced a ton of lefties from the right side. But because there seems to be some real stuff as a lefty, I'm serious. Like, I know I messed up with Lindor, and I might just have him abandon the right side. If you're not going to be good at something, why not potentially invest more time in something you're showing promise to be great at?
Well, it's either that or you have... Well, you could send him to the minors and let him work on it and really see. That's one option.
I can't do that now. Okay. That's no way. That would stunt. That would be so unfair to him. He is playing.
But he can't hit right-handed.
But he's hitting lefty like an animal.
Or you have to sit him against lefties.
That's one option.
Or you just abandon it altogether, but you're going to let him learn how to hit left-handers?
Oh, not on the fly in the major leagues. So I wonder if he's even hit lefties in the minors, lefty-lefty. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I know that he's been in the system since he was 16, and usually you start switch hitting when you're young.
But this is...
Probably didn't even see minor league lefties.
But it's part of player development, BT. That's my point. If he can't clearly play a position, if he can't hit from one side of the plate, you've got to develop him.
Can he play third?
Yeah, exactly. Can Spencer Jones? I mean, can anybody in the Yankee organization? In the entire organization, there's not one capable third baseman?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.